splashing water back and forth. So when you just meditate on that water being splashed, and you feel very, very cool.
No.
It's too busy having his thing around right here. We would like to invite some of the devotees to come with us. We already discussed the program already, but we booked a taxi, and we're leaving Thursday morning at 4 o'clock for Karoli and Jayapur and Nathpur. If you'd like to come, you're welcome. We wanted to go Wednesday, but we'll go Thursday. Couldn't really start a journey on Thursday, but it's okay. When are you going to Delhi? I have a letter to take to Delhi. Okay, I'll get to it tonight. There's a nice book about Guru Tattva. There's a series of 80 questions that were presented over many meetings. There's a In 1887, was a descendant of Bir Chandra Goswami, Birabhadra, who was of course, the son of Lord Nityananda. And there are many acharyas have come in the lines called Nityananda Vamsha. Many wonderful gurus have come in the line of Lord Nityananda after Bir Chandra. First was Lord Nityananda, then there was Janava Mata, then her son Bir Chandra. Actually, Virachandra is the son of Vasudeva, so he was initiated by his mother, Janava Mata. Then he initiated so many disciples, and they became gurus, and they had their disciples, and they became gurus, and like that. Can it go a little slower, or something? Try setting it on zero. I said, try setting it on zero.
On zero?
And
yeah. Put it off?
Do you want it on or off? I think off is better.
Sometimes it becomes worse, I put it in.
Yeah, well. I think so. So we want to read something during our classes. We'll read a little bit about this Guru Tattva. Because in Siddhanta, they say that. Of course, there's 10 basic pramayas, basic subject matter in spiritual life. Trishti tattva, rasa tattva, prema tattva, shakti tattva. Then you have guru tattva and shiva tattva. So they say that of all the tattvas, jiva tattva, Guru Tattva and Shiva Tattva are the most difficult to understand. Prema Tattva is not so difficult. Rasa Tattva is not so difficult. Srishti Tattva means creation, is not so difficult. The Guru Tattva is a little bit difficult to understand. So, let's see. I might have to give the 11th Canto Bhagavatam. I think we'll just go through this one by one, question after question, because we're all trying to serve our spiritual masters. And this book has many different questions and answers given, and I've looked at some of them, and they're quite good. They start off kind of from the beginning, so a lot of it may seem redundant for those who've already accepted Guru. But in other words, the first question is the need for accepting Guru. But then later on, you get things like, is service to Guru more difficult than service to Krishna? Different kinds of devotion to the Guru. And then you get towards the end, there's subjects like, this is very interesting, this, the result of holding Sri Gurudev's foot dust. That was pretty, I haven't read them, I just got the book, but I was looking at the titles, and it's certainly a captivating subject title. Sri Guru's loving dealings give the greatest delight to the disciple. There are specific rules for accepting the holy name and the holy mantra given by the Guru. So, practically, I would think, well, let me look at some different subjects and we'll pick out them and then we'll, but then I thought, well, start with page one. Well, basically we'll read it and then we can discuss some questions. So there's a disciple or prospective disciple asking questions from this acharya. His name is, he's a descendant of Janamata and Birachandra. His name is Srimat Shukadev Goswami. Not to be confused with Shukadev Goswami, the Bhagavatam, but it means probably, what it means is that he's married, moreover, because just like you go anywhere in Vrindavan, Padmanabh Goswami, this Goswami, that Goswami. Goswami means that they're coming in the line of the six Goswamis, or they're in that line. And generally, they're married. You go to Radhadamodar Temple. This is a typical Bengali thing that they do, although Padmanabh is not Bengali. But they take the name Goswami as their last name. From Radhadamodar, it's Nirmalchand Goswami, but he has six sons, and he's married. He has two wives, actually, and six sons. But his name is Goswami. So this person's name is Srimat Shukadev Goswami. Today, please give us some instructions about Sri Guru Tattva. Why is it necessary to take a guru to advance on the path of sadhana? How should we become bound up in a relationship with Sri Gurudev? Please explain to us whatever there is we should know about that. That's an important question. And he says, look, I guess he says, Deko, in order to make advancement on the spiritual path and to attain a genuine religious life, the sadhaka, everyone knows sadhaka, must first of all take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu says, Ado Guru Padashraya. Pretty clear. First one must take shelter of a guru. Without taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, it is not possible to make any advancement on the path of religion. Now we have to see who is a bona fide spiritual master. And basically, part of what we're going through this discussion of Guru Tattva to increase our relationship and understanding of Guru, and also so we can, those that are, those persons that are looking for Guru, or searching for Guru, by hearing from this Shastra, they'll have a better understanding what to look for and what to, what to expect. I'm simply the mailman. This book came into my hands. I didn't know anything in existence about this person or this book, and it was even in someone else's hands. And then it was given to me a couple of days ago. I thought, all right, I guess I'm supposed to, I should share this. This is knowledge, and knowledge is to help us improve our life and attain the fulfillment of our heart's desires. That's the purpose of knowledge, to bring us happiness, bring us satisfaction, realization of God, ultimately love of God for those that are devotees and receiving spiritual knowledge. So this is the most crucial spiritual knowledge and most important spiritual knowledge for aspiring candidates and for devotees, to initiate devotees. So who is a bona fide spiritual master? A person who has full faith in God, who is dedicated to Him with devotion. There's two qualities here, Shraddha and Bhakti. And who has all good human qualities to their full extent. Good human qualities, doesn't say animal qualities. Human qualities, like mentioned in the Bhagavatam. 26 qualities of devotees. Those are human. Those are also human qualities. We read those 26 qualities. What are those 26 qualities? Merciful, kind, clean, peaceful. Those are human qualities. We find them in also so-called non-devotees. They're also very clean. And there are a lot of good qualities in people. But you find more quantity of those and more depth of those in a devotee. And then the greater the devotee, the more the qualities are revealed and perceivable. So these, a person who has full faith in God, who is dedicated to Him with devotion, and who has all good human qualities to their full extent. So it says he has all the 26 qualities, but to their full extent. He is a Sadguru, a bona fide spiritual master. He is a Jagadguru, universal teacher. And you know, of course the English may be not so clear sometimes, but it's my first reading, so you have to bear with me. And you know what are the best characteristics of a guru? So now these, those were qualities. The first thing that's mentioned, these are you know, the primary things. Full faith in God. He's dedicated to Him with devotion. And he has all good human qualities. It's interesting. And this definition is that it doesn't mention that. Of course, we'll see more. It doesn't mention he knows all the shastras. It doesn't say that. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You can go through there. You have to go through here. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We need two more and we'll have us to study. Okay. They're actually okay, fine. Hare Krishna. Everyone is Prakriti. Everyone is female. Prabhupada writes in his book. We should understand how everyone is female and there's one Purush. Everyone is actually female. Everyone is to be enjoyed by Krishna. Everyone is to serve Krishna. He's a Lila Purushottam and he's a Purusha avatar. So we're discussing something about Guru Tattva from a new book that we've received. Okay, turn it on. I did.
No, it's too much. It's too loud on the microphone. Actually.
As soon as he starts playing cardboard, you can open the door. Cardboard is in there. So we're discussing. There's 80 questions and 80 answers about Guru Tattva in this book. Very wonderful. It was written in 1887 by a disciple of, descendant of Nityananda and Janavamata and Virachandra, a guru. And one person says, how do we know who is this bona fide spiritual master? And then the guru speaks. A person who has full faith in God, who is dedicated to Him with devotion, and who has all the good human qualities to their full extent. He is a Sadguru and Jagadguru. And you know what are the best characteristics of a guru? So when we ask these questions, you should also be thinking in your mind a little bit, although there's not much time to think. In other words, when you say, what are the best characteristics of a guru? And then you think, yeah, well, a guru should be... Now the guru says, he is very affectionate, tender, and blissful. And he is always full of forgiveness. He is very affectionate, tender, and blissful. And he is always full of forgiveness. A person who cannot forgive can never be anyone's guru. Just see, who can be as forgiving and as blissful as the guru? The guru is there to create. The guru is there to create, not to destroy. We are ignorant souls. It is our nature to commit offenses. But the Guru's nature is to forgive these offenses with all of his heart. By giving such a great example, he takes us up the path of advancement. This is the first paragraph of this book. And from this, I can understand this is a fantastic book. And you agree? And this was in Bengali, as I'd wait to... translation. Look, there is one tattva. You know tattva? Tattva means truth. It also means principle. In this world, where you cannot make any deliberations or arguments. In other words, there's the truth in this world which you can't argue about and you can't deliberate about it. Here, you have to follow orders without deliberation. Do you want to know at whose feet you must make your head roll without deliberation? Interesting phrase. Because it must be that way in Bengali. You must, your head must roll in the, at the feet. Do you want to know at whose feet you must make your head roll? That is your Sri Guru. Your head should roll in his feet. I hope it doesn't roll too far. It might come off your body. That is your Sri Guru, who is non-different from God. There should be no deliberation about him to whose feet you have once offered your mind, body, and life heirs, at whose feet you have once sold or surrendered yourself with lowered head. You know the word deliberation? You know what it means? Thinking, second thoughts, means like second thoughts or thinking again, or maybe I should or maybe I shouldn't, or I'm down in a mistake, or was it? That's deliberation, back and forth, back and forth. There should be no deliberations about the guru whose feet you have once offered your mind. Very wonderful phrase in theology. In this world, you cannot always follow everyone's orders all of the time. And it is not possible to always refrain from criticizing someone for faults he is making in his work. But there is one place where you must follow orders without deliberation. One place where you should fully refrain from fault finding, and where there should be no criticism or deliberations at all. You cannot let your head roll at everyone's feet. All of the time. But there is one place where you should make your head roll without any deliberation. It's really a good word to look up. It uses a lot. Why should you again have doubts and find fault in he at whose feet you have once surrendered yourself, saying, O Prabhu, O Master, from today on I am yours. Bapre, bapre, bapre. Boy, oh boy, I have spent, this is the, in other words, the guru now is saying, you come to the guru and then you surrender him, then don't find fault with him and don't have doubts at his feet. And this is what you're saying. You're saying, from today on, I'm yours. Boy, oh boy, I have spent my whole life carrying this burden of deliberation. Always thinking, yeah, accepting, rejecting, accept this one, that one, this one. From my very birth, I have been distinguishing. This is good, this is not good. You know, distinguishing. This is good, this is not good. This path is good, this path is no good. And I have never found redemption from the hands of this discriminating intelligence. In other words, I never found freedom. I'm always... Through so much of this deliberation, I wanted to go to the left. But then somebody came and grabbed me by the neck, forcibly pushing me to the right. I thought that it would turn out all right. But everything turned out wrong still. Just see, I have not arrived at any fixed conclusion due to my own speculation. Having failed to do that, I have ultimately laid the full weight of my discriminating intelligence at your feet, saying, Prabhu, do whatever you like. What he's saying here is every human being has intelligence, and the function of intelligence is to discriminate. This is good for me, this is bad. And we discriminate on the basis of our experience, on the basis of our knowledge. Experience means your upbringing, what your parent, your training, your upbringing. It's called indoctrination or whatever, however you're trained or brought up. Then your knowledge. You read so many books. So your training, your experience means your training, your upbringing. Then your knowledge and your travels, all that is your experience, your travels. And your knowledge is all your school and all your education, all your reading of so many books and philosophies. Then you discriminate. This is good for me. This is bad for me. So he's saying that sometimes you go to the right, and then you're just, and then that doesn't work out. Then you go to the left, and in this way, we spend lifetime after lifetime, depending on our own intelligence and our own deliberations, and we get no results. We really get no results because we're still here. We're still in the material world. We've taken another birth, which proves that in our previous life we did the same thing. We had so much discrimination, we had so much intelligence, and we went to the right, and we went to the left, and we did this, and we did that, and here we are, with another material body. So he's saying that when you finally find that person who has these qualities or whatever, and the guru, the sadguru, whom you can have full faith and surrender to, then it's not like you give up your mind and become mindless or give up your intelligence, but you stop the deliberation practice, because now you're a guru, you're in good hands now, you're on the perfect path. Guru, now you're getting out of the material world, you're on the correct path, no more deliberating. No more of, well, it's now, well, maybe I should be a devotee, maybe I shouldn't be a devotee, maybe I should surrender, maybe I shouldn't. That all goes on before you surrender. Once you've surrendered, then the deliberation should stop. That's why Lord Chaitanya, if we read Chaitanya Charitamrita, he teaches exactly the proper mentality that a devotee should have. And we've been reading that just recently. And we're reading about that chapter 7 in Adi Lila, about the Mayavadis and all that. And when they were saying, why are you just chanting and dancing? He said, no, my guru said I should just be a fool. I should just be, I mean, Lord Chaitanya, he's a fool, right? Is he just foolish? No, when he starts speaking, then you see he's not foolish. But before his guru, he said, I'm just a fool. My guru told me just to chant Hare Krishna and dance. So I'm chanting Hare Krishna and dancing. Oh, why did you study Vedanta? Then when he starts speaking Vedanta, then you see he's fully empowered by his guru and he speaks so wonderfully. So this is that, you know, we have to actually come to this platform. Mm. I have ultimately laid the full weight of my discriminating intelligence at your feet, saying, Prabhu, do whatever you like. Thus, I survived with a great sigh of relief. Now, why should I again start speculating about you? In other words, he's talking about this whole... In other words, we find guru, and then we say, well, maybe my guru is this, or maybe my guru is that, or I don't know, this or that. That should go on before the one that's guru. If I start doing this, speculating about my guru, then where should I go? The life of he who starts distinguishing again after having come to the guru is truly pitiable. There must definitely be one place in this world where I will not distinguish things myself, where I can find some cooling relief from the burning sensation of this restless existence. Sri Gurudev stands next to me as an umbrella of fearlessness that gives peace and cool shade. In the cool shade of his feet, I can sit and hear the pleasant, heart-touching, honey-sweet words emanating from his divine mouth, so that I can get an indication of the whereabouts of the eternal abode, where there is eternal peace and happiness. And I can relish the sweetness of this abode while being in this scorching material world. I can relish the sweetness of this abode. Is that you have cold? I can relish the sweetness of this abode. I mean, relish the sweetness. What is that sweetness? Madhurya. Dham, Vrindavan. While being in this scorching material world, you must have such a high esteem of the Guru that you will not have any deliberation here about faults or virtues. If you think here that, and think like this, Prabhu, you have not understood this issue very well. I think maybe even we're making tapes, and if you go in your room and rest, it would be better for you. And you can listen to the tape. Is it all right? Because I think if you get proper rest, because you're working very hard in Christian service, if you get proper rest, then you'll be all right. Thank you very much for coming. Okay. If the disciple thinks, oh, Gurudev, you have not understood this issue very well, or Gurudev, what you said is improper. If the disciple thinks like that, then Guru will become like an ordinary human being to us. No, such doubts or fault-finding cannot be maintained here. If Gurudev calls a bale fruit, a tall fruit, then we must accept it with lowered head. This is written in 1887. Sometimes we say, if you know, you're fanning her into getting a cold. Drink some water. This is interesting. This is 1886. This is like 100 years ago. 1887. I guess this is Guru Tattva. This is always, if Guru says this is a bale fruit, and you know definitely that it's a tal fruit, a palm fruit, then we must accept it with lowered heads. Yes, it is tala fruit. I've heard Sri Ramaraj preach on the same point. If you cannot, you means the disciple, if the disciple cannot have such a high esteem of the guru, then there is no use in you associating with your guru. Then it is to be understood that you cannot gain very much from accepting a guru. If you cannot fully follow the guru, then it is of no use to accept a guru. Pause. But this book is very wonderful. And you look through, it's not a whole lot of things about, it's not every word is Krishna or anything, but he's speaking in very practical, simplistic language, in very clear language. I'm reading it, so it's easy to me to see it. You're just hearing it, and maybe you're tired, maybe your stomach hurts, and maybe whatever. But can you appreciate how specific this is? And this is especially for you, on you. Very, 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 very good. How are you doing? What's going on? Discussing about about Guru Tattva. You're taking some notes on these points? Good. If you want me to repeat something, just tell me, I'll repeat it. It's for you. Anybody want notes, but it's very good. Very wonderful book. Fantastic. Tape is there, you can catch up on tape. Question. How should we be aware of the relationship with Sri Guru, and how should we obey him? Answer. Deko. Look. The relationship with the Guru must be regarded as special in all features. One cannot have deliberations about him. I suggest you look this word up in a dictionary. You have an English-German dictionary or whatever, some kind of dictionary. You should look up the word deliberations and see what it means and think about what it means, because he's using it a lot. One cannot have deliberations about him as with ordinary human beings. He must be kept in a special position. How can he who is guru be considered on an equal level with everyone else? The guru is naturally guru. He is a jewel on my head. This is disciple. It's hard sometimes to know when. Now this is what the guru, the disciple should be thinking. My guru is a jewel on my head. I have to carry him on my head. Now, Guru speaking. If Guru is your master and you are his servant, then you have to consider yourself inferior to him in all features. The scriptures say that the Guru must be considered identical with God. His orders must be obeyed without deliberation. Deliberation means that you think about, well, maybe it's important, maybe it's not. Or maybe he doesn't mean that, or maybe I can do it this way or that way. That's kind of something of deliberation also. And he must be followed in all respects, unless... We have incense going, it's some bad smell there. The incense is going.
Is it going out?
Going out the door or something? It's going out the window? It sounds like a dead dog out the window coming in. Very bad. You know, like a dead body dog. You have a different kind of incense or something? Maybe a different kind. Light up a different one.
You can put it here. This is a different kind.
Yeah, okay. What is it? Unless and until you have complete... Sometimes when you hear some of these phrases, you might think that I wrote them or something. But I'm just reading. I mean, honestly, I didn't type this up last night. But it sounds interesting because I guess gurus are always saying the same thing. Oh, that's nice. Unless and until you have completely given up all independence and you have completely surrendered unto Sri Guru, you will not be able to experience His grace. How many people are so fortunate to experience the ever so sweet of Sri Guru's grace? He who can relish the grace of Sri Gurudev by following Him and giving up His independence in all respects is most fortunate. He knows that Agya Gurunam Yavi Chariniya, the orders of Sri Gurudev should be followed without deliberation. Important word to know what it means, deliberation. Should we go on to the next question? You have a question on that? No, I'm serious. I mean, it's open thing, you know. Okay. Question. Will Sri... Because this is what boxers ask. Well, you know, we're supposed to surrender, but what if the guru says, you know, to go rob a bank or something? Or what if he tells me to become a prostitute to make money for the new temple? Yeah, they asked. I was 4 years at the temple presence. So many boxers coming. You know, I thought through when I became a disciple. Will Sri Gurudev ever give us an unfair order? That's the language being used here. An unfair order, or order we can't fulfill or something. No, He will never give us an unfair order, for He is aware of all that goes on within our hearts. He is aware of all that goes on within our hearts. In other words, He knows whether or not we are able and qualified to follow His orders as the antaryami, or supersoul. There is no greater well-wishing friend than Gurudev. Well-wisher. It's like Prabhupada probably used to sign his letters, "You're ever well-wisher." Right? One should never be an illusion. One should never be in the illusion that he, or Gurudev, would bring us into trouble or danger by giving us an unfair order. It is not exaggerated to say that if there is even the slightest doubt that the Guru's words are spoken... Wait a minute, sometimes I think maybe... It is not exaggerated to say that if there is even the slightest doubt that the Guru's words are spoken for our benefit. Oh, there's some mistake in English. If there is even the slightest doubt that the Guru's words are not spoken, you can see how if you leave out one word "not," it can make a lot of difference. Because we had the same experience. We produced one book called Prabhupada Radhadamodara. And there was one quote that said, Prabhupada was not very much interested in Radhakund and Govardhan. And the actual quotation from this person we interviewed was, Srila Prabhupada was very interested in Radhakund and Govardhan. So somehow it came out was not. So in the first edition I had to go through 2,000 copies with a black magic marker and poof, 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 and take out the word "not." One word "not." So it's missing that word. If there's even the slightest doubt that the Guru's words are not spoken for our benefit, this will hamper devotion and even destroy it. Why did my Gurudev tell me, just like I heard a devotee recently, so my Gurudev wants me to go to Australia. I'm here. He asked me to go to Australia and work and run this restaurant. I don't want to do that. Not good. Problem. I want to stay in Vrindavan. Doesn't he understand how much I'm attached to Vrindavan? Maharaj, what should I do? These kind of things are presented to me. You should know that doubts in the Guru's words or disregard for them is a fatal obstacle to the attainment of bhakti. Fatal obstacle to the attainment of bhakti. Fatal, F-A-T-A-L, means death, means it'll kill you. An obstacle, fatal, means fate, you know, fate, it means death. Fatal, F-A-T-A-L. Like fate, the word fate means your destiny. But fatal means he dealt a fatal blow, means he killed him. He took an iron pipe and he hit him with a fatal blow. Now, everyone just look at me, you know, if you look at, keep writing, let her write, it's not our business. You know, everyone just, you know, keep fixed in their hearing. It's important. You should know that doubts in the, you might have doubts about different things, the philosophy or whatever, and you ask your guru, and you know, doubts are there, the guru removes doubts. But doubts in the guru's words, or disregard for them, is a fatal obstacle. No, it's okay. It's a fatal obstacle to the attainment of bhakti. What about opening the door now? Maybe it's less noise over there. Is that alright? Is that okay? Mm-hmm. Not too noisy over there?
Sounds like a constriction now. Before it was said that this mountain knows the question and he would do all this for our benefit.
Yes.
And he will never make any obstacle in our path of devotion and service.
Yeah.
And with that, now, for example, if you're like in the holy ground and you do bhajan, you do meditation, and you can really increase your devotion.
I think we have to come back to this point again. Lord Chaitanya said, maybe didn't finish your question, but I think I know the direction you're going. We have to come back to this point, Lord Chaitanya. It's a very important point. I am a fool. I really don't know anything about Krishna. I don't know anything about bhakti. But my Gurudev knows everything about Krishna. He knows everything about bhakti. So if he says that I have to run around these parking lots and sell these bhagavatams, then that's what I have to do. If he says I have to go out here to Los Angeles airport for 8 hours a day, and my back hurts and my knees hurt, and carry these bhagavatams and approach all these mulches and yavanas and demoniac people that I wouldn't even look at, even if I could karmi, and try to sell them books, and I do that. Although I'd rather be somewhere else, I'd rather be in Vrindavan. Because every guru, that's what this whole idea, what's being discussed here, is that as soon as we think we know something, then we're lost. In other words, we know, because this whole, what we know is Maya. And what we know is how to stay in the material world. We know how to do that. We're very good at it. We know how to stay in the material world. So we must be humble enough and submissive enough to realize that if we want to get out of the material world, we have to approach someone who is out of it. Out of the material world. And therefore, I don't know anything about this subject. Whatever you say, okay, that's it. That's what I know is what you tell me. And when the books that you tell me to read, I read those books, now I know something. I may have some questions how to understand it, and please, you know, remove my doubts and please clarify everything. But ultimately, my understanding of this whole field is all coming from you. As soon as we think we know something, then we become the guru, and we say, well, I don't need the guru. What do I need you for? I know that I'm doing bhajan and I'm making progress, and you don't know anything. You don't know my heart. I know my heart. Then then you're nowhere. But that, if one actually has proper gurus, and he's actually, you know, qualified disciple, it won't come to that position where he thinks, well, my guru really doesn't know me. My guru really doesn't know me. If he knew me, he wouldn't tell me to do this. That means that the guru really doesn't know you, or you picked the wrong guru, or something. Something's wrong. The person isn't guru. That's all the basis of the basis of faith. One problem is premature surrender. Premature, you know, and insufficient surrender and premature surrender without knowing what you're getting into or what it's all about. That think this is very important. This, we see a lot of that nowadays. Maybe we always saw it, but it seems like a lot of it. Where the disciples, they approach me. Many. I've been here in Radha-Damodar Temple, and somehow many disciples or gurus around the world, they see me as a neutral personality. They see me as someone they can talk to or someone they can trust. So they come to me and approach me. I'm initiated. I'm talking about initiated. I'm not talking about doctors. I'm initiated. So they feel I'm not political, I'm not a GDC, they see me that I don't go around talking this, that, and great lines. So they come and say, oh, here's a neutral person we can discuss. So what they discuss is often this dilemma of not having faith to follow the orders of the spiritual master. Big problem. That's everything. If you have no faith to follow the orders of the spiritual master, then what do you have? What's left?
How is it? I hear so many devotees to say, my guru, if you don't know me, and I was a big initiation, and I see him never, and so...
You can only pray to Radharani that soul will somehow receive fortune from someplace.
Mm.
If you feel like that, it's real.
Mm.
No. If you feel deep trust in someone, and deep faith for someone, and deep love for someone, and deep respect for someone, that's within you. You can't legislate faith. You can't legislate trust. Okay, now trust me. Now faith. You can't do that. It's not possible. That grows within you. By associating with a person, by being with a person, hearing from a person. And this spirit, we're talking about spiritual faith, and it's by hearing from a person. We can only pray to Radharani to bless those souls with some kind of guru bhakti or some shelter.
This time, that kind of faith grows.
Yeah, of course. Faith. That's why we say ado shraddha. And what does shraddha grow into? What does shraddha grow to?
Nishtha.
What is it? What does faith grow to? What is the culmination? What's the final product? What is the final growth of faith? Like a baby boy goes to be a man. Now he's a man, that's it. So what does faith grow to?
Prema.
Prema, exactly. So it's a growing process. Faith gets more and more condensed, more and more deep. And that faith gives you the strength to perform, to associate, gives you encouragement, determination to associate with devotees. And then that faith, when you associate devotees, that increases your faith to be like them and to do bhajan and practice bhakti. And then by practicing bhakti, that gives more faith, because bhakti is a shadow of faith, it's a ray of faith. Like a sister of shraddha and bhakti are brother and sister. So then you perform bhakti and then it gives you more faith, and then your faith becomes thicker and thicker. And what is thickened faith? Thickened faith is known as nishtha. And then that faith starts, when it gets thick, then it starts to take on a taste. Like milk by itself is some taste, not much. When you cook it down, the taste increases. It gets condensed. So then that's ruchi, that's anishta. More taste. More thick. Taste becomes thicker. When taste becomes thicker and thicker, then it gives some taste. Ruchi. So it grows. All right? Question? Hare Krishna. Is this too heavy topic? We should read Krishna book or?
First, when these disciples, they act according, like they put full faith in this spiritual master, and then like the guru is going, then you are completely lost also.
So he how? Going his diet?
No, like in ISKCON, so many.
Traveling.
No, he's
look.
Oh.
Fall down.
How do you actually know if you're in a truck person? Because you join and you.
I mean, it's a heavy topic, but what can I
do? I'm just talking to this serious thing about gurus and bringing that idea. That what was the question exactly? You have another gas station someone, and then he leaves, and where are you then?
No, the point is, how do you know that you have the right person, like, to put all your things in?
You have to be patient. You have to take time, spend time. Because we feel, it's our feeling, that devotees are superficially convinced or about guru from the mental platform. Mental platform means accepting and rejecting. And they put faith, but it's not educated faith. They haven't actually spent. The shastras say you should spend a year or two with your guru. Like some gurus in this coming, say, you come and stay in my temple for a year and you serve there and you hear from me a year or two. And then in other words, so many doubts will come up in a disciple's mind. Well, is my guru really liberated? Does he know the shastras? You know, all those things. And any doubt that one has, he should have the freedom, have the time to sit with that guru and remove those doubts and ask questions. I really don't believe that many disciples, that many, maybe I'm wrong, actually sit down heart to heart and have discussions with their gurudev. And like, and reveal, say, well, you know, I feel this way, please don't mind, but I feel this way about you. And then ask the question. And the gurudev can explain if he wants to. And so by that kind of revealing one's mind, and then measuring the response within your heart, how that measuring the response he gives within your heart, how it registers with you, how it sits with you, so to speak, and then continuing to serve, and then praying, that the Lord in the heart, please reveal. And if you're really sincere and deserving,